The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Morning, this is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat this morning. Ireland is to enrol in a new €150 billion EU defence initiative. It's called Security Action for Europe, codename SAFE, that will permit member states to obtain military equipment. It's all in response to Russian aggression. And the big question, as we were talking to John Brennan, former CIA director in the last hour, what happens next? You can listen back to that interview, by the way, on the News Talk app if you look up the Pat Kenny Show. Now, the Irish government believes becoming a member of SAFE will allow us to secure military equipment at reduced cost and faster. Declan Power, security and defence analyst, is with us. That those are two words we don't normally have in Irish procurement, Declan.
Yeah, very true, Jonathan. Yes, and that is one of the key benefits to this particular programme that we have signed up to, is that it will give us much more speed of access. But procurement is an area that traditionally Ireland has been very poor at, and we have not always cut very good deals because we don't have much experience in procuring defence equipment. And we can oftentimes get carried away about the price and end up getting equipment that is not doesn't have the longevity required or doesn't suit our actual needs, but is more designed for larger military nation needs, things of that nature. I'm generalising now a bit. So the having access to procurement expertise in order to get better value, and just simply being able to, you know, to piggyback onto bigger purchases, which means the speed thing gets affected in a very positive way, because a small country like ours, when we have a defence shopping list, we're not really at the top of the list when we go to the different manufacturers, because if they have bigger customers, they're going to deal with them. You know, the bigger number, the bigger amount of money. So this is good for us and many levels. Now, on the other side of the coin to keep in mind that is of benefit to us as well, this is very unique to the European Union as a bloc. We're allowed to take part in this, but we're not being bound into anything. It doesn't change our foreign policy stance. It doesn't change our military alignments or lack thereof. We're not, you know, this doesn't bind us into any commitments. And it's important that people understand that, because, you know, I can well imagine the usual suspects will jump up and down about this, but they should actually welcome it.
The posters for neutrality and protect our neutrality. I'm sure people will probably question why we're doing this. But if you look at the week that's just passed by, Declan, NATO countries, almost to be nice to Donald Trump, have agreed to a 5% GDP spend by 2030 on defence. Ireland is what, 0.2% of GDP?
Yes, exactly. So, and that needs to be addressed. But the beauty of this situation is, so we're not in NATO. We're not a paid up member of NATO. Everybody knows that. We do have a relationship with them through the Partnership for Peace and through the individual tailored partnership plan, which allows us to pick and choose the things that we need to get involved in. It allows us to share intelligence. It's good for us, but we're not bound by the commitments that they have to make. We're looking to get to a level of ambition too. It's not the same level of spend at all as the 5% that the NATO nations are facing. This European Union initiative allows us to get involved in procurement with other nations, some of them, obviously the majority of our EU partners are NATO members. So we get to benefit from the expertise, we get to benefit from being on their shopping list, but we get to control what it is we need, and we're not bound into anything as a result of it.
Need more than anything else, Declan? I'm presuming we need to upgrade our radar, because our radar is rather antiquated in places. We need underwater capability to detect things. I mean, we're not going around buying, you know, fighter jets and big guns.
Exactly. No, we're not looking. We're looking to be an efficient small nation defensively. And to answer your question, Jonathan, our primary needs are primary radar, military grade radar, which we're in the process of going ahead with purchasing, and sonar and a variety of other undersea detection and deterrent methodologies and mechanisms. Those are the primary things we need. We need to start looking at replacing what's known as our LTAV fleet, our light tactical armored vehicle fleet, if we want our troops to be properly protected when they go on peacekeeping missions, if indeed there was the likelihood of the UN authorizing one sometime in the future, which is unlikely at the moment. But you can imagine if there was a peacekeeping force being sent into the likes of just Gaza, for example, the troops going in would need the proper force protection measures. So those are the key things, things that we have been using and doing, and things that we should have been using and applying, such as radar and sonar, things that are applicable to home defence and security and that allow us do our thing and protect our backyard and have a say in what's been done and then coordinate as required with our neighbours with regards to critical infrastructure protection. Other things that people would be less aware of and that are less, I suppose, conventionally military would be things like cyber defence, intelligence analysis and collation software and capabilities of that nature to bring us up to a level of, I would argue, ability to know what's happening in our sphere of influence, to know our domain picture, and to be able to, again, coordinate with neighbours so that we're not always asking for the intelligence, that in some cases we can share intelligence, which, again, increases our ability to deter. This is all about deterrence. If you have a good deterrence, you're generally left alone. The weakest kid in the playground is the one who gets picked on. You don't have to be the biggest kid in the playground to sail into the grey zone. Ireland needs to be, and I'm not using it in a warfare definition. Some of your listeners will understand grey zone warfare. It's a form of hybrid warfare. But I'm saying from the point of view of being in the grey zone, not to attract unnecessary attention. What we're in a state of at the moment is provocative weakness. That's why Russian ships sail into our territory and why they buzz our airspace. Because they know that we can be used as a weak link into Europe in general. We don't want that. We don't want to get involved in war fighting, but we don't want to be the cause of somebody who's interested in war fighting using us as a backdoor to attack friends and neighbours.
Some of the text coming in on this, we are the most under-defended nation in Europe. This is a sensible step, says that listener. If a referendum was held on real neutrality, says someone else, it would pass by a large majority. Of course it would. Nobody wants to go to war. I mean, like that's ridiculous. Like, there's literally nobody banging a war drum here.
Jonathan, can I say something there? Yeah, that's an interesting point, and I understand what they mean. But we should have learned a few lessons about tinkering with the Constitution. The problem with neutrality, it's like the previous abortion referendums and divorce referendums. Like, in fact, if anything, they were easier. But we saw with the X case, you know, when you go messing with something that requires fluidity and elasticity, you can create problems for yourselves in the future. With regards to our situation, we're not changing our current constitutional stance. There is no desire by anybody to do so. What we are doing is the same as what Switzerland is doing, what other countries do that are not in military pacts, and that is have the ability to protect our own terrain, people and resources, and the ability to plug into other things if we need to, to cooperate if we need to. That's responsibility of our government. It would be irresponsible if we weren't thinking about doing this.
What a waste of money, says another listener. Fix the health system and the roads. We wouldn't last 5 minutes in a war. Who are we going fighting? Is it us going fighting or us defending ourselves we're talking about here?
This is defence. We're not, you know, you're with respect to your listeners there, they're really not paying attention to the issue here. It's to avoid spending money stupidly. It's to spend what we need to spend in an efficient capacity. It's not, you know, people would do well to pay attention to the geopolitical climate. It's not that we're likely to be directly attacked, but we can be undermined. We can have our resources damaged in a desire to want to damage the resources of others. Look around this country. We are an interdependent nation. We depend on others for energy resources and they depend on us for safe transit of internet traffic. That makes us an attractive target to totalitarian states like Russia. It's unlikely that they're going to launch missile strikes into us at any time soon. But as regards sabotage, espionage, damages that can take place from a disinformation perspective, we're a soft target for soft attacks and we need to address that in order to protect ourselves. So people need to stop thinking like it's World War II. It's not. We live in a different climate. One other thing I'll say that we should take note of. While it has been utterly reprehensible the way the European Union has been dithering about the carnage in Gaza, and there is a lack of moral accountability, I would argue, at the moment in the European Union, what it has shown us is that the European Union, as a bloc, is not a place that countries can be bullied into doing something if they don't want to do it. Countries like Hungary are able to hold up a process if they don't agree with it. It's a very democratic movement. So from Ireland's point of view, when we get involved in something of a defence nature, we're very much in a position to do it on our terms, and people should be aware of that. And indeed, the people who might give out about SAFE or give out about the triple lock should take a pause and realise that the European Union has been very good to us in our engagement, not just economically and politically, but even from a defence perspective. We haven't been pushed or bullied into anything. We've actually, as a small state, been incredibly successful at getting legislation in regards to Nice and the Lisbon Treaty adjusted to suit our foreign policy.
Jesus, don't start them again, for God's sake. We still are traumatised by the both of those when they went through. Declan, one last point, but just before we go, the NATO spending increased this week to 5%, and we were talking with John Brennan about the sycophantic nature and Mark Rutte calling him daddy, and I'm still equally traumatised by that, I can tell you. But the concern that people who read history will have is that towards the end of the 19th century, we had two sides arming each other that inevitably came to a point at which there was a war. Is there a risk of that? I know we're talking about European defence spending, and NATO was set up to prevent World War III. But if both sides arm in a way that will give conventional or indeed new age weapons such as drones, is there not an inevitability of an outbreak of something?
No, I would disagree, because if you read into military history more clearly, certainly in the Second World War, the armament that took place too little too late. And what you had was an emboldened Hitler striding across Europe because he didn't see any pushback. And if there's a similarity, and I'm very loath to be, each period of conflict is different to the last. But you can learn lessons. But the lesson here, if you look at the way Russia is behaving, is there needs to be a deterrent factor in place. You know, the best way to avoid war, well, the Latin phrase, sic vi pace parabellum, if you want peace, prepare for war. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not just about armaments either. There has to be commitments. So it's not good to hear Trump being so vague on his commitment to his NATO responsibilities. But if Russia sees two things, if it sees a more coordinated and coherent Europe that has rearmed, not just in a conventional basis, but on a hybrid basis, that it's more shored up against hybrid attacks, and that it is more coordinated in securing each other, from a variety, that there are no weak links, then that acts as a deterrent against his policies. But if he sees vagueness, lack of willingness, then he's far more likely to go tinkering around with the safety and security of the Baltic states, for example. Mm. And this is not just me saying this. This is based on publicized intelligence analysis from the Nordic states and from the German military intelligence high command. These are countries that are not known for hyperbole. The Finns and the Nordics, you know, the Swedes and the Norwegians, are not known for hysteria and hyperbole. And they've been living in that neighbourhood and dealing and managing Russia for a long time. And this is what they're warning against. The big fear is that you could have undermining of the small states, certainly like the Baltics. And that's their fear. And we need to respect that and take it seriously. And when Kaja Kallas was talking about life behind the Iron Curtain, this isn't a binary competition for us to talk about who's the most oppressed nation. There was a huge difference between Ireland and Ireland's experience in the modern era of the Troubles and the experience of ordinary citizens and the coercion they were under behind the Iron Curtain in the 70s, 80s and 90s. And it's unseemly and immature of us to be looking for apologies when she tries to remind us of that.
Declan Power, security and defence analyst. Pleasure as always. Thanks very much for joining us, Declan. Lots of texts on this. In a war, the Irish Defence Forces would be largely irrelevant, but at the same time, as an EU member, Ireland should not be hiding behind the fig leaf of neutrality. Disagree that they would be largely irrelevant. They're very well trained. For the most part, it's just not putting them in a war situation is kind of the Irish thing. We need at least to do something to defend ourselves, not just hope that Britain will defend us. And one more, Jonathan, if other small neutral nations like Austria and Switzerland can protect their own airspace, why can't we? Yeah, even Austria, which is another neutral country in the European Union, multiple spending of what we have. They have a proper air force, whereas we don't. We don't have fighter jets, although we might be getting them if Simon Harris gets his way. Keep the text coming to us, 53106 for a cost of 30 cents.
News Talk's Summer Cash Machine.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.